Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $10 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. Get mountain cold refreshment delivered straight to your door via Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/SGP. That's CoorsLight.com/SGP. And next, we're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head on over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And finally, we're brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is a horse racing daily fantasy sports app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as $40,000 with just one entry. Head on over to StableDuel.com to get started today. And of course, make sure to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Download the SGPN app wherever it is you download apps.
Howdy ho, this is Dan Marino, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 135, I believe. Via my calculations, we're at 135. Episode 135, it's going to go out to Devin Booker's hamstring. Thoughts and prayers to Devin Booker's hamstring. But this is not a Devin Booker hamstring podcast, even though it could be. Maybe that will be something I will do in the future. Hopefully it won't be about his hamstring. Hopefully it'll be about him being a championship basketball player. But regardless, this is a podcast where we talk about people fighting each other and how you can make money on it. So sounds like a very family-friendly podcast, which it is. So thank you for coming to it. I am one of the hosts. I am known as, in most parts of the world, I'm known as the Beverly Hills Ninja, Jeff Fox. So thank you for coming to the show. We got a big one for you. Again, this episode, not only are we going to break down the UFC Fight Night coming up this weekend, but we also are going to give you a couple picks for Bellator's return to Hawaii this weekend. So we're going to get all that rammed into your ear holes or wherever you would like it rammed into. So thanks for coming. Hopefully you're subscribed to our MMA Gambling Podcast feed, direct feed, so you can get us in your ear holes or whatever hole you'd like us in as early as possible. All right, enough of that. Enough of this intro. Let's bring in my associate co-host. He is super excited because this weekend sees two of his very favorite fighters of all time throw down in separate fights. They throw down nonetheless in the octagon. Let's bring that man in right now. It would be Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
I really, truly hope you are not referring to the Beverly Hills Ninja and the future barber.
That's me. I'm the Beverly Hills Ninja. But yeah, the man formerly known as the Beverly Hills Ninja, yes, and the future hairstylist. Yes, correct.
I there's so much anger that I can't even properly demonstrate the anger that I have for those two. So yeah, I'm gonna be honest. This is probably the first time anybody has ever come into MMA Gambling Podcast in already known very clearly two of my picks before I've ever even made them.
So you're picking with your heart, not with your head, as per usual with you, Dan.
I think
too much emotion.
All right, here's a spoiler alert. I think both of those two are going to lose. Like, and not just because I objectively hate them, which I definitely hate Macy Barber more than I hate Jordan Wright. Jordan Wright is just like a padded record guy who throws weird spinny shit and would probably be 400 times better if he didn't. And that's really frustrating and annoying to watch. And it's not even like the same kind of fun spinny shit as like Michelle Pereira. Like Michelle Pereira is like, I'm going to do a moonsault a la WWE.
Yep.
Whereas Beverly Hills Ninja is going to throw like the weirdest and worst angle for a spinning back kick to the like solar plexus or something like that, and then follow it up with a spinning back fist. And it's going to look bad, not like Ben Askren bad, but like not good either. And then somehow still get a win in there. But he's fighting a really tough dude who I think is going to beat him. And we'll talk more about Macy Barber's flaws and why I'm picking against her.
All right. Well, there you go. That's pretty much what you guys have in store for you. Gumby smash. He's getting angry. Turning green, but he already is green because he's Gumby. So, but regardless, we're going to give you, it's actually a pretty good fight night card. As I was saying last episode, we lost the Chucky guy fight, but the MMA, as Dan says, the MMA gods giveth and taketh away, and they tooketh away a Chunky guy fight, but then they gave us another Chunky guy fight in return, so it's all is going to work out well in the wash. And then, like I said, we have a couple of Bellator fights. We'll probably jump into the Bellator quickly to start things off, and then we'll crank out the rest of the winning UFC picks. First, obviously, I have to tell you about WinBet, because make sure you get down on the wins. Bet $10, win $200 promotion, where a $10 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Plus, the WinBet Casino is offering 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. And of course, don't forget to get involved in their same game parlays with the Win's own build your own bet feature. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is download the WinBet app or visit winbet.com to get started. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. It's the hectic time of year between weddings, graduations, spring sports, and more. We're busier than ever right now, and sometimes we forget to take a second for ourselves. So this season, take a second to enjoy a nice cold Coors Light, because you deserve a beer that's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottle and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refresher made to chill. So here's what you got to do, everyone. First of all, I need to tell you, when I need to take a second for myself, I reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/SGP. That's CoorsLight.com/SGP. And remember to always celebrate responsibly. After we give you winning picks, crack open Coors Light, celebrate it responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. All right, because we're going to give you lots of winning picks. You want to just... want to knock out these Bellator ones quickly, Dan? The championship fights.
Yeah, they're real easy to knock out.
They are. It's true. Even Jeff could make picks here. All right, let's start with the first one. Bellator 278, Velasquez versus Carmouche. That one is going to be the Friday show, 8 p.m. Eastern on Showtime, or if you're in Canada, it's free on YouTube. Fantastic. It's going down from the Neil S. Blaisdell Center in Honolulu, Hawaii. 10 fights. We got the start of the bantamweight tournament on this card, but we're not going to break down picks there unless Dan has some hot pick to give you. But we're going to break down the main event, which is for the Bellator MMA women's MMA flyweight championship. Actually, that's the only, it doesn't say women's because they don't have a men's flyweight division, so we'll just say the Bellator MMA flyweight championship, and that would be between champion Juliana Velasquez versus Liz Carmouche. Yes, Liz Carmouche is still fighting. Let's break it down quickly, and then we'll give you picks here. All right, Liz Carmouche, of course, is Gorilla. She's 16-7, 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. Only time she's been stopped, she's been submitted twice, and that's it through her 23-fight career. She's 3-0 in Bellator, which got her title shot here. She won her last fight via TKO. She also was in the UFC, as you probably remember, where she went 5-5, had 2 cracks at the title. She fought Ronda Rousey for the bantamweight championship. So she used to fight up a weight class at bantamweight. And then she fought Valentina Shevchenko for the flyweight championship. And she lost both of those fights. Like I said, used to be a bantamweight. She also was in Invicta, where she was 2-0. She also was in Strikeforce, where she was 2-2. Made her debut way back in 2010, still going strong, plus 160 on her. The champion, Juliana Velasquez, 12-0, perfect record in MMA as a pro, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions, 7-0 in Bellator. She's been the champion. She beat Lemele McFarlane, and then she defended the title once already successfully, so this will be her second title defense. She also was regional champion. She also used to fight at bantamweight. As for size, she's an inch taller, inch and a half reach advantage over Carmouche, 2 years younger, which might be surprising to some because Carmouche has been around forever, it seems, but she's not really that much older than Velasquez. And you get minus 195 on the champ. Just me glossing over this, I really like that number on the champ.
I'm actually going to go with Liz Carmouche on this.
No way.
Yeah.
I mean, like, easy picks. I thought you were going to go with the champ.
No, I mean, like, this. So let me tell you something. I went up and down this Bellator card and I was looking for anybody who I could, you know, just dangle in front of you guys with plus money as like a bonus pick. And I'll be honest, like, I don't think I saw anybody maybe on the whole card. Christian Edwards, I think, is like plus 135. And that's like the biggest dog I really liked. But I will say I do really like Liz Carmouche in this spot. And part of the reason why is just like the way that we see Juliana Velasquez win, right? Like she's, don't get me wrong, she's got good hands. She does some really great things with her jiu-jitsu, but she comes from a judo background, right? Like she was a judo competitor for a really long time, which is why she's older and we're only seeing her in the sport now. And like, not for anything, Liz Carmouche is a tough out for anybody, but especially right. somebody who comes from a background of like needing judo, right? And one of the major flaws of judo, for those of you who are not familiar with judo in its purest sense, is that you can't attack the legs in judo. It's outlawed. And granted, she's got tons of MMA experience since then, but it tends to be that wrestling is a really good counter to people who are good at judo. You know, you can get in on the legs. They're worse at defending those. Granted, if they get you in over-under positions or clinches against the cage, they're a little bit better there. But man, like, you know, not for anything, Liz Carmouche has thrown some women around, right? Like Liz Carmouche, you know, threw around Jessica Andrade, threw around Lauren Murphy, threw around Caitlin Chookagian, like, you know, took it to Jennifer Maia and took her down a bunch of times. Like Liz Carmouche went 5 rounds with Valentina Shevchenko. And this is not ancient history. This is like 2.5 years ago. And since then, all she's done in Bellator is just grind people, take their backs and TKO them. So, she had a rear naked choker of Deanna Bennett in there too. I think she's a really bad matchup for Juliana Velasquez. So of all of the dogs that exist on this card, she's actually one of the only ones I really like.
Very, very interesting. But everything you said does make sense. She does have that old woman strength, right? So she can throw people around. I was going to ask you if you thought Velasquez was legit, but apparently you don't think she's legit because you have an old lady beating her.
I mean, I do think she's legit. I think there are some times where you can say, you know, is she maybe one of the better fighters at 125? Like, where do I think Velasquez would fall in the UFC? I think she'd be a top 10 flyweight. But at the same time, like, Liz Carmouche was a top 3 or 4 flyweight in the UFC for a really long time. I mean, she got a title shot. They released her off that title shot. Like, Liz Carmouche has always been right there.
All right, so there you go. Liz Carmouche, finally, this would be her first championship anywhere. I guess she probably has regional ones. No, I don't think she has any championships. This would be a big deal, her finally winning a championship.
That is sort of surprising. Like, she doesn't have, like, man, I guess she didn't win Strikeforce. That's true. She didn't win. She lost to Marlowe's Conan.
Nope.
For the Strikeforce belt. That was a reserve. Yeah, no, she's never held a belt of any kind. What a first one this would be, too. You know, like having lost to Valentina Shevchenko and Ronda Rousey for belts, like what a huge moment this would be.
Yeah, well, there you go. Tune in Friday night. See if Dan's right. And then tune in again on Saturday. I don't think you're going to see an upset on Saturday. Well, at least not the main event, because it's headlined by Cyborg. Chris Cyborg versus Blankow 2, this would be. They're feeding up people. Cyborg's already eaten before. She's gets to eat them once again. So this one's going down Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern. All the same stuff, same spot, Showtime, YouTube if you're in Canada, all that same stuff. So once again, this has got Actually, it has an interim championship fight on it. Are we breaking down that one down? Because I don't have any stats for that one. Archuleta versus Wolfian Stotts.
I tell you, I'm real chalky on that one. I think the grappling of Stotts is just... I actually think Stotts is like low-key one of the more underrated guys in Bellator. He's really phenomenal. What he did to Magomedov impressed the hell out of me, even if it wasn't the most exciting fight. Like, his only loss in his pro career is a spinning back fist that just happened to catch him right on the jaw 15 seconds into a fight. And get this, it was Merab Dvalishvili, you know, the king of spinning back fists.
I know that guy. Wow, yes. So there you go. This is actually the stronger card of the two, if you ask me. It's got the Bellator MMA Featherweight Championship, Women's Featherweight Championship, Chris Cyborg versus Arlene Blancow. Then it's got, like I said, the interim Bantamweight Championship up for grabs, one Archuleta versus Rolfian Stotts, because current champ Sergio Pettis is injured. Then you got Kyoji Horiguchi versus Patchy Mix, former champ Elimelech McFarlane, the hometown hero, going up against Justine Kish. You got Lance Gibson Jr., a Canadian. You got Kai Kamaka the third. This one is Gochi Yamachi, Yancy Medeiros. So this card's pretty stacked for Bellator.
Yeah, and I love the Elimelech McFarlane fight versus Justine Kish. Like, I think it's a good showcase for McFarlane, and it kind of just shows how good Bellator's 125 division is, because Kish was always like a serviceable fighter in the UFC, and I think McFarlane probably beats her pretty soundly here and shows, you know, it's like a nice point of comparison to show just how good she actually is.
And very Bellator of Bellator to have this card go up against a UFC on Saturday night instead of, you could have had this one on Friday when you didn't have any UFC competition, but no, they have to go up against the UFC. So anyhow, main event, she's still a much watch for me, Chris Cyborg. She's taken, like I said, on Arlene Blancow for the second time for her featherweight championship, Cyborg's featherweight championship. All right, so Blancow's nickname is Anger Fist, all one word, obviously. She's 15-8, 8 knockouts, 1 submission. She's been submitted 5 times in her career, so never been knocked out. We'll see. Actually, last time they fought, she was submitted by Cyborg, so maybe that'll happen again. Maybe she won't get knocked out. She's 8-4 in Bellator. She's won 2 straight fights and 5 of 6, the one blemish being the Cyborg fight, the first one. She used to fight at down at bantamweight. She was a regional champ. She's at plus 600. Chris Cyborg, Chris Justino, actually, nicknamed Cyborg, 25-2 with 1 no contest, 20 knockouts, 1 submission. The one submission she got against Blancow. She's been knocked out once, submitted once in her career. That's the only time she's been stopped. She's 4-0 in Bellator. She's already defended her title 3 times. All of her fights in Bellator have ended with her finishing her opponent. She's won 5 straight fights. She went 6-1 in the UFC and was the champion of the featherweight division before losing to Amanda Nunes. She was 5-0 in Invicta, the champ there as well. She was 4-0 with 1 no contest in Strikeforce, champ there as well. Made her MMA debut in 2005. She is a grappling champion as well. She's not just a feared striker. She's minus 899. Now, this one you're not going to surprise me on, right?
No, of course not. She just beat her. Why are we doing this again?
Exactly.
Also, if you can find minus 899 still, good for you. Because I see that number shooting up further and further.
Yeah.
Some places have it negative 1400 by now. Like, I guess, like, if you want to win a few pennies, feel free to. But she's going to do the same thing she did. And, like, she submitted her last time. I think she'll probably TKO her this time just to round it all out. But, yeah, she's appointment viewing. But, my goodness, like, it is not going to be a competitive fight.
No. But yeah, like Dan said, appointment viewing always when Cyborg fights, because if you like watching greatness, then there you go. Watch that. So like I said, the rest of the card also is stacked. But of course, like I said, they are going up against the UFC, though, on Saturday night. So you may have to watch it after the fact, or have the multi-screen thing going down. So all right, that's it for Bellator. We're going to move on to the main event, which is the UFC. But first, Athletic Greens. Let me tell you about them. We're brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff, you're asking? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all of those things. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep, quality, and recovery, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. And when you go on the internet to get to that athleticgreens.com/SGP, make sure you're using IPVanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 1,000%. How about 100%? 1,000% too, we'll say. 1,000% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. Go to ipvanish.com/SGP. Use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. All right. UFC time. Is the Bellator card better than this card, Dan?
No.
There's a couple of fighters I like. A couple of fighters I like on that Bellator card. Like I said before, I think Kish versus Alimale McFarlane's fun. I think Patchy Mix probably contests Koji Horiguchi enough to make him sweat, which will be nice to watch. But, like, you know, the two title fights at the top, I think, are mostly washes. You know, you got Lance Gibson Jr., who's like a -1,000 favorite on the prelims.
Canadian.
You know, is he Canadian? Is Lance Gibson Jr. Canadian?
He is.
Oh, I did not know that.
He is.
He's also fighting a guy named Nanoa Dung, which is
I know that name. Yes, it's a good name.
Nanoa Dung. I like a couple of the dudes on here, but it's just not the same level of competition top to bottom, which is always my problem. However, as we get into this UFC card, you will notice that the bottom of this card is not actually very high-level competition.
No, it is not. No, the answer is always no. Bellator has good fight cards, but it's from top to bottom, it's UFC always trumps it. So the card we're speaking of, UFC Fight Night Lemos versus Andrade, a.k.a. UFC Fight Night 205, a.k.a. UFC and ESPN Plus 63, a.k.a. UFC Vegas 52. We really should come to some kind of consensus on these cards instead of calling them all these silly things, but regardless, that's what we got here. This is an ESPN Plus card. I probably should have the start time, but once again, I didn't write it down. Do you remember the start times, Dan, of any of these fights?
I think this one was originally supposed to be a 4 o'clock start, but has since had the cancellation or two of fights. Steve Garcia, Demir Hadzovic is off. And while they found opponents for everybody else who dropped off, I do think that's probably going to push it back half an hour.
All right, so probably around 4:30 Eastern, and then what, the main card would be 8, I would assume, Eastern.
That really sounds right. Let's go with that.
Sure. I'm not sure. The pick 'em contest I'm running, I did put a time on. I just can't remember what time it was. So anyhow, let's get into this here card. It is once again going down from the UFC Apex Enterprise Nevada. They got one more week from the Apex after this week, and then they're off to Arizona for a pay-per-view. All right. A barn burner opener, welterweights, Dean Barry versus Mike Jackson. Mike the Truth Jackson versus Dean the Sniper Barry. Mike Jackson, listen to this record. He's 0-1 with one no contest as a professional fighter, and he's fighting not on Bellator, not on LFA. He's fighting in the UFC again. All of his fights have been in the UFC. He's a journalist that sometimes fights. They had him in to fight some guy named Phil Brooks, a.k.a. CM Punk. He won that fight, but then he got busted for weed, and they got it overturned, and then he lost to... No, wait a minute. Yeah, he lost to Mickey Gall after that. Is that right?
He actually lost to... He lost to Mickey Gall first.
Gall first.
And then they gave Gall the CM Punk fight. Gall switched CM Punk, and then they matched up the two people who had lost to Mickey Gall. He did beat CM Punk by decision, but then got... Right. Yeah, like you said, had that overturned.
And this is way back. He's been submitted once by Mickey Gall, and that was the CM Punk fight was way back in June of 2018. CM Punk is back wrestling since that time. Mike Jackson's not fought. He's 4 inches taller than Barry. I don't know his reach. We don't even have official reach info for him. He's at plus 625. Dean, the Sniper Barry, he's making his UFC debut. He's another one of these hyped up, not quite as hyped up as other ones, but he's a promising prospect out of Ireland. He's 4-1 as a pro with 4 knockouts. He's been submitted once. Like I said, this is his debut. He's won 3 straight fights. He's 7 years younger than Jackson, minus 1,000. Is there any analysis needed here, Dan?
I mean, like, look, Mike Jackson is probably better than people making memes about Mike Jackson say he is. Like, he does have, like, 30, 35 kickboxing and Muay Thai fights under his belt. So, like, he has some experience. But he's also a guy who fights not as a profession. He fights for, like, fun. He even has a clothing line called Shits and Giggles based on his fight profession. And, like, bottom line is here is, like, he's fighting a guy who wants to make a life out of this and who knocks people out who try to box with him, right? Like, that's the thing about Dean Barry. Like, the only trouble he's ever had in a fight was Anthony Taylor, who's, you know, maybe not the best guy to ever have an issue with, but, like, he did a good job grappling Anthony Pretty Boy Taylor did. So, I don't think Mike Jackson's going to be able to grapple him. And as a result, he's got to box with a dude who's half his age, who throws twice as hard. So while I hate betting on somebody or picking somebody officially in a fight, what did you officially go with the number? -1,000?
-1,000.
God. Yeah. I'm going to pick him anyway.
You have to, sir.
It's terrible, but, like, I don't even see value at Mike Jackson at that number.
Maybe I'm guessing this isn't going to show up in our recommended picks at the end of the podcast, but regardless, we're both picking Dean Barry to have a successful UFC debut. All right. A more, at least on paper, a more tightly contested battle. Next, light heavyweights, Marcin Prochniel versus Philippe Lins. Do we have nicknames? Lins, Monstro, fantastic nickname. Let's talk about Monstro first. He's 14-5 with 8 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times. He's 0-2 in the UFC. He was 4-0 in PFL before then. Was he their champ? Did he win in PFL? Do you know off the top of your head?
That sounds right. I'll put the intern on it. You continue.
Okay. All right. And yeah, undefeated in PFL. He was 3-3 in Bellator. A lot of his career was spent at heavyweight. This is at light heavyweight. He has not fought since June of 2020. 4 inches of reach on Prochniel, plus 104. Do you have the info yet?
Yes. He won the heavyweight, first season of the heavyweight tournament by beating Josh the Cuddly Bear Copeland in the finals.
There you go. There you go. Okay. So that concludes the info on Lins that you need to know. Prochniel is 15-5, 11 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out himself 4 times as well. Both these guys have been knocked out 4 times. 1-3 in the UFC. He won his last fight after dropping his first 3. They gave him another kick of the can, and he made it worthwhile. He has not fought since January 2021. He formerly fought in the biggest promotion in the world, ONE Championship, where he went 4-0. Used to be a middleweight, used to be a heavyweight. Now he's right in the middle, light heavyweight. He was a regional champ. He's got an inch of height. Lins, 3 years younger, striking stats in his favor. He's twice more active landing strikes, minus 125. I will take Prochniel in this one. Lins has just not been able to transfer his success outside of the UFC into the UFC yet. And until he does, I'm going to bet against him. So I'll take Prochniel at minus 125.
Yeah, I'm going to ride with Prochniel in you here. I think the problem for me with Lins is just kind of like his inability to go for it. Like, he just kind of fights super safe. Like, that fight with Arlovsky sticks out to me. Whereas, like, he kind of thought he was winning that fight, even though he clearly wasn't winning that fight. And he just kind of was okay getting outstruck by 3 strikes per every hour that the fight was going on and losing. Yeah. And he just never, like, pushed forward. And I thought after that loss, he would turn things around, and he didn't. It just seems to be like a chronic issue with him. And Prochnio is almost the other way to a fault, right? Like, that's the thing about Marcin Prochnio is, like, the dude goes for it a little bit too much, so much that he got knocked out by Sam Alvey early in his career. But since then, that's won him fights with Khalil Roundtree and Ike Villanueva. So I like him here. I'm also a little bit worried about Felipe Lins coming down to 205 and what he looks like. I mean, he fought heavyweight a bunch. I don't know that this looks good for him.
He was a chunky heavyweight, though, to be fair, was he not?
Yeah, like, I think he could lose the weight and yeah, look better than he did? Sure. Do I think he will have done that properly? I don't know.
All right. Both of us are picking Prochnio on this one. So we're on track still. We're hitting at like over two thirds of our fights. When we're on the same page, we get them right. So let's see if we can keep this up. A last minute fight. This one just got slotted in. Welterweight Preston Parsons was originally supposed to fight Lewis Koske, but Koske got that old COVID thing that's still going around. So he's been replaced by a newcomer, Evan Elder. So Elder will be making a very short notice debut, like less than a week notice debut in the UFC. However, he's known as the Phenom, so perhaps he's up to it. He's a Nick Diaz Academy product, I believe. He's 7-0 as a pro, 4 knockouts, 1 submission. Like I said, short notice debut. He's won 2 straight fights via TKO/knockout. He's 2 years younger than Parsons. Normally fights at lightweight. This one's up at welterweight. This fight is so new, we don't even have lines to tell you on it. So I'm guessing he's going to be the underdog here. Parsons, nicknamed Pressure. He's 9-3 with 9 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. So none of his fights have gone the distance. All of his fights have finished inside the distance, win or lose. He's 0-1 the UFC, where he got TKO'd in his first fight. He's won 4 of his last 5. He's 2 inches taller than Elder. And like I said, no odds on this. So can you tell us anything on Elder and then give us your pick?
So, yeah, I've seen Elder fight probably 300 times, it feels like. He's
fought back 7 times, Dan.
Yeah, he's fought far more than that. He had a very long amateur career. And that's actually where I saw him more than anything. So when I worked for a website that shall not be named, he was one of the stars, the darlings of one of the organizations that regularly televised events on that website, and that was Shamrock FC. So I've seen him fight on the regional circuit a whole bunch, both in amateurs, where, like, I exaggerate, I think he fought like 10 times as an amateur, and then as a pro he actually fought Luis Pena on the amateur circuit too before he turned pro. It's his lone loss in his career. He fought for Shamrock a bunch, LFA. I think I just saw him on FAC, which probably got his recognition here. But, you know, you mentioned that he was originally a Nick Diaz Academy guy. He actually made the move about 2 years ago to Sanford MMA, where he's been doing all of his camps since then. He looks even better than he did before. He's got really great wrestling, really powerful hands. The one thing I would say about him from a breakdown standpoint, he's just kind of a guy who leaves his chin up a lot. I think against the guys he's fought, it's never been an issue. But I think when he faces, he's probably going to immediately drop right back down to lightweight after this fight. When he moves back to lightweight, he's going to fight some dudes who will pop him on the chin. And he really has to work on, you know, keeping that chin down and throwing his strikes without picking his chin up in the air. But like when he does land, he lands so hard, and he's got great wrestling. I really like his clinch takedowns and his suplexes and like all that kind of stuff. Looks really great out of Evan Elder. And as far as the breakdown for this fight, I'm actually going to pick Elder here on short notice. Part of the reason being that, like, you know, I mentioned his lone weakness is that he keeps his chin up in the air. And I don't know what this line's going to come in at. It could come in at Elder as a massive favorite, and then I'll feel like an idiot. But he keeps his chin a little bit too high up in the air. Preston Parsons is just not the guy to tag him, though. You know, like, Preston Parsons is like a wrestle first, yeah, looking for his submissions kind of guy. You know, like, if you go back and look at his record, like, it's guillotine choke, armbar, rear naked choke. Like, it's all early finishes with the sub game. I don't actually think he's going to be able to get Elder down, because I think he's a better wrestler. And I think he's going to be too slow to deal with Elder on the feet. Don't think he's the kind of guy to tag him. So at the end of the day, even on short notice, even up a weight class, I think I like Elder here.
I'm going to take Parsons. Just I'm going to fade a guy. Short notice debut, up a weight class. But yeah, everything you said is makes sense if it comes true. So we shall wait and see. So that is welterweight fight. Let's move on to bantamweight, Quiling Aori versus Cameron Els. Let me see. We got some nicknames here. Els is Kamchida, and Aori is the, we spoke about him before, the Mongolian murderer. Have we confirmed if he means he is a murderer from Mongolia or he murders Mongolians? Do we know yet or not?
I know he's
from Mongolia, but
man, I am really hoping it's the former.
Yeah, hopefully. But anyhow, let's break it down. But to tell you about Cameron Els first, what kind of nickname is Kamchida, Dan?
I have no idea what a Kamchida is, awkwardly, despite the fact that I've interviewed Cameron Els and had him on the Top Turtle MMA podcast. And that's usually one of my go-to interview questions. For some reason, I don't think I ever asked him what Kamchida is. I mean, I guess his first name is Cameron. And if we maybe...
Yeah, I got that part.
Yeah, maybe if we add like some sort of Portuguese spinoff here, maybe it's some sort of small something named Cameron. Yeah, sure. Let's go with that.
Sure. He's going to hope to switch the nicknames with his opponent after Saturday, right? He's going to want to be the Mongolian murderer.
He's going to be the murderer of Mongolians?
Yes, of the Mongolians, well, just one in particular. Okay. Not actually murder him, but just beat him. How about that? Let's break it down, Dan. Cameron Els, he's 10-5, 6 knockouts, 4 submissions. So he's finished all of his wins. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once. So he's only gone the distance once in his 15 fights. He's 0-1 the UFC where he got TKO'd. That was back in October 2020. We got a lot of people coming back off long layoffs on this card. He used to fight at featherweight. This one's down at bantamweight. He was 1-0 in Bellator. He made his debut way back in 2012, pro MMA debut. 2 inches taller, 2 inches reach on Aori, plus 200. Mongolian murderer is 18-9, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been submitted 3 times in his career. He's 0-2 in the UFC. 6 years younger than Els, 3 times more active landing strikes. Better grappling stats, minus 250. I'll go chalk here. Better striker and grappler. I will take him in this one.
Aori, yeah, that is. Yeah, I'm going to take Quiling Aori as well. I don't mean to keep going chalk here, but I feel like I have. I really do think the striking of Cameron Els is good. But like just the flaws he showed stuffing the takedown to Kyler Phillips. I don't think Quiling Aori even necessarily goes right to the wrestling. But when the striking fails, I think he goes there then. Or if the striking fails, he goes there then. And I'll also add this, too. This is, and I said it about Felipe Lins. This is Cameron Els going down to flyweight, which worries me a little bit because he was already. Is this fight not taking place at flyweight?
No, it's bantamweight. Or I've seen it listed at bantamweight. Yeah. Or he's going up.
Oh, okay. So Aori is going up.
I think so. Yes.
Okay. So that worries me mildly less for Kamchida, but I still think he's going to get out wrestled. So it ceases to be a part of my analysis, but continues to the pick doesn't change. I'm going to stick with Aori. I think he wrestles him if he needs to.
Yeah, Kamchida. Let me make sure this is where it is. Yeah, 135. I've seen it on 2 sites, so it's locked in at bantamweight. All right, let's move up, way, way up to light heavyweights. Tyson Pedro versus Ike Villanueva. Ike Villanueva was on the Top Turtle MMA podcast last week, full disclosure. And then, is that the only one from this card that you had on? You don't think you have any on this week from this card, do you?
No, I was supposed to have Luis Kosuke on. As a matter of fact, I even interviewed Luis Kosuke for...
Oh, what happened after you interviewed him, Dan?
He got COVID, but that's not wow. I don't think that's my fault. But nevertheless, yeah, no. So both my interviews this week, if you are planning on listening, you should go listen to them. I'm interviewing Tristan Connolly, who fights Darren Elkins next week, and Mike Breeden, who's getting ready for his second fight in the UFC.
So it had nothing to do with Dan, though. Just like Brian Barberina's insides exploding had nothing to do with you either after you interviewed him. But anyhow, let's break down a fight, shall we? Ike Villanueva, he's been on the pod, like I said, last week. He's Hurricane Ike. He's 18-13 with 15 knockouts. He's been knocked out 7 times, submitted 5 times. So he's lost one decision fight. The rest were via finish, all of his losses. He's 1-4 in the UFC. He's lost his last two fights via TKO / KO. He used to fight at heavyweight. Was a regional champ. He was 1-0 in Bellator. He has missed weight before at light heavyweight. That's where this fight is at. He made his pro debut 2009. He's a more active striker, better grappling stats, plus 425. Tyson Pedro, do you know his nickname, Dan?
Tyson Pedro has a nickname. It's been a while.
Do you even remember Tyson Pedro? It's been a while.
I mean, I do. I don't remember him having a nickname, though.
Kangaroo Paws is his nickname, Dan.
No, it's not. Nobody's
that could be a new one.
Nobody's ever called him that.
Well, apparently I saw that somewhere. Wikipedia, more than likely. So I think that may be my new nickname coming up. We'll have to wait and see. All right. Let's tell you about Kangaroo Paws Pedro. He's 7-3, 2 knockouts, 5 submissions. So he's finished all of his opponents. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. So this may be a inside the distance prop if you're into that type of thing. 3-3 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight fights, both via finish. However, he's been out of the cage since December of 2018. What's the story behind that? Do you have a story behind that?
I mean, I think it's just been injuries pretty wildly throughout because, he was only booked for 1 fight in that time. It was just the Vinicius Moreira fight that got pulled. And then after that, I think it was probably pandemic after that because since the pandemic started, he has not been booked. So I'm assuming when it comes down to having to leave Australia and all the problems coming back in, if I had to guess, I'm saying Tyson Pedro just said, I'm not into not seeing my family for 6 months.
Right. Plus, if he actually carries Kangaroo Paws with him too, that could be issues getting across any kind of international border.
Yeah, you can't cross international borders with Kangaroo Paws. That's what I heard.
Nope. Whether they're attached to you or in your pockets. So. All right, so what else can I tell you about Pedro? He's 2 inches taller than Villanueva, 6 inches of reach, 7 years younger than him. Striking stats in his favor, minus 600. I believe it would be your turn.
Look, I hate this number, too, because laying negative 600 on a guy who hasn't fought in 4 years feels wrong, and I almost feel like I should not go chalk just because of that. But, man, dude, I love Ike Villanueva. I love him as a human being. He's super fun to interview. And you know what? He's damn fun to watch fight, too, because that dude just loves to swing it and bang it. And, like, he just goes in there and wants a boxing match. The problem is that I think Tyson Pedro is a better boxer. And if he shows any signs of being like he did before he leaves, the minute he doesn't like the boxing, he can just take Ike Villanueva down and dominate him there. Because he also has a decent ground game, and Ike Villanueva looks, you know, kind of like a fish out of water when it hits the mat. So yeah, I can't believe you're telling me I have $100 and I'm going to put it on a negative 600 favorite who hasn't fought in 4 years, but that is literally exactly what I'm about to do.
Yeah, this is a wacky card for things like that. I am taking Pedro as well for all the above reasons. So, but yeah, there's a lot of wacky lines here and a lot of fights. A few fights I've actually switched my opinion on, which doesn't usually first glance pick is the one I stick with successfully, I might say. We'll see how this newer strategy goes tonight. But Pedro is the pick. Moving on to welterweights, Dwight Grant versus Sergey Kandozko. He's been around so long, Dan, I can't say his name anymore. You want to say it for me?
It's Sergey Candanzo.
Candanzo, right, that's it. Like Gonzo. All right, let's tell you about this one. We got the body snatcher, Dwight Grant. He's 11-4 with 7 knockouts. Been knocked out himself once. He's 3-3 in the UFC. He's gotten loss, win, loss over his last 3 fights. 1-0 in the Contender Series, 1-0 in Bellator. Used to fight at middleweight. This one's down at welterweight. Made his pro MMA debut 2011. 2 inches reach on Honda is the man that he's fighting. His nickname is easier to say than his last name. He's got 2 inches of reach on him, grappling stats in his favor, plus 100, even money coming back on him. All right. Sergey Honda is 26-6-1, 10 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. He's 1-1 in the UFC, lost his last fight. However, that was back in November of 2019. Do you have stories for this guy, Dan?
I don't. I have no idea why this guy has not been around.
it's been a long time. He also made his pro debut 2011. He's 8, despite all this, he's 8 years younger than Grant. Minus 120. I will take the returning Sergey Kandosko in this one, please.
Well, we're gonna have our second difference first, if you count the fact that
I was thinking about going the other way.
I'm gonna take the body snatcher here. I think he's a little bit underrated when it comes to just how good his striking is. I think, you know, like you look back at the record and you're like, he's 1-2 over his last three. His win is a split decision. That doesn't look great. But like, he pretty much knocked out Daniel Rodriguez. That fight could have been stopped at any point in time for a win for Dwight Grant, and nobody would have complained. And that includes Daniel Rodriguez, who's tough as nails. Somehow that dude survived it. And I wish I could remember who the referee was. It was the older looking white dude, because he did it two or three times in one night. But like, he took an absolute beating and comes back and knocks out Dwight Grant, who kind of tired himself out. But the bottom line is, Dwight Grant throws. He throws super hard. He went in there and mixed it up with Francisco Trinaldo, a fight I thought he won. Although, if we're going to, you know, play revisionist history, I also think he lost to Alan Joban. But like, he's traded with all of these guys and looked pretty damn good. And like, you know, Kandosko fought Rustam Khabilov, you know, 3 years ago and got absolutely manhandled in the grappling department. He got manhandled by Rostam Akhmed. And like, both of those guys, Rustam Khabilov, I think, is a good grappler, but Rostam Akhmed, I don't really. And like, both of them out grappled him. So we're saying we feel really good about Kandosko on the feet enough that we're going to pick him over Dwight Grant, a guy who, like I said, had Daniel Rodriguez knocked out. And in addition to that, I'll say this. I think Dwight Grant could out-grapple him if he wanted to. Dwight Grant has 100% takedown accuracy. Like, he has never tried for a takedown in the UFC and failed. Not once. So, and granted, that's only, it's a small sample size, but I'm saying I think he could take it there too. So, yeah, I'm going to take Dwight the Body Snatcher Grant here. I think he surprises a lot of people in this one.
All right, there you go. We finally differed, but yeah, this one was a tough one to pick. As I said, I think I had Grant originally, and then I switched. Guess, can you believe that I switched on the next fight too, Dan? It's a catchweight fight, 190 pounds. Jordan, the Beverly Hills Ninja, right, versus Marc-Andre Barrio, Powerbar, one of our favorite nicknames around these parts, and a Canadian, I might add. All right, let's tell you about Wright first. Dan's favorite fighter, or second favorite fighter, actually. He's 12-2 with one no contest, 7 knockouts, 5 submissions. So he finishes everyone. And he's been finished too and everything. He's been knocked out twice. He's 2-2 in the UFC. He's gone win, loss, win, loss. He lost via TKO his last fight. He had a no contest in the Contender Series. That was originally a loss, wasn't it? Do you remember that?
Are we talking about, could you remind me who it was against? Do you have that in front of you? Oh, like, no, it was against, you don't have to tell me, it was against Anthony Fluffy Hernandez. Okay. And yeah, he lost in 40 seconds, if I'm not mistaken. And then Fluffy tested positive for weed, I think. I don't think it was even like a PED. He like was smoking weed.
There you go. All right. He's an inch taller than Barrio, 3 inches of reach on him. 1 year younger, more active striker, plus 150. All right. Powerbar, 13-5, 1 no contest, 9 knockouts. He's been knocked out himself once. He's 2-4 in the UFC with 1 no contest. He's gone 2-1 over his last 3 fights. However, he did lose his last fight via knockout. He's taking this on short notice. He's has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
There you go. He's been popped for PEDs in the past. He's at minus 180. It is you.
I'm obviously going to take Powerbar. I'm going to take Marc-Andre Barrio. And look, I'll say this. Jordan Wright's flashy, throw everything but the kitchen sink, and then also through the kitchen sink style is crazy, and it's worked for him in the past. But, like, legitimately, Marc-Andre Barrio is one of the most durable dudes out there. And not only is he durable, after he takes a beating, he's still got power in his tank. Like, we saw it in the, I guess we saw it in the Oscar Pichota fight, but we also saw it in the Abu Aziatar fight. He just took an absolute beatdown, comes back and finishes both those guys. He survived Dolce Lugiambula early and then came back and just like put it on him as well. The guy is almost impossible to put away. So like, why would we pick somebody who naturally needs to finish somebody in order to win? And yeah, I said virtually impossible to go put him away. Chidi Njikiwani just did. Chidi Njokwani's crazy. That dude's good, and he hits really hard. I don't think Jordan Wright's on that level, so I'm going with Berio.
Yeah, I'm going to take my fellow Canadian as well. He doesn't get finished, and Jordan Wright needs to finish people with his crazy striking to win fights. So that is the pick there. I was thinking about taking him. I don't know if I was just doing that because it would be funny to pick him and have you go crazy, but nonetheless, we are both going with the Canadian Berio. That concludes the prelims. We'll jump right into the main card in a sec. But first, Stable Duel. There are never enough things to gamble on, and the one sport that runs 365 days a year is horse racing. Best part is now there is a new way to play the ponies, especially if you're brand new to the sport. Check out Stable Duel, daily fantasy style app where you can play free and pay games for real cash prizes. Pick your horses, build your stable, and play against others to move up the leaderboard. Win as much as $40,000 with one entry. Don't know anything about horses? Not to worry. The app gives you clear data on which horses to select to build your best strategy. The app is free to download at StableDuel.com. Multiple games are offered each day with free games weekly at tracks all over the United States. Get in the app, create your account, and start building your stables tonight or today. Invite your friends to play against you or play against our stables. You can even follow them in the app. We can compare our own stats. Download now at StableDuel.com and see how many winners you can pick in your stable. See you in the winner's circle. Play, race, win. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. The NBA playoffs are set and in full swing, and PropSwap is where bettors find the best odds and turn the hard wood into hard cash. PropSwap is the only app that allows you to pick your favorite team and then sell your bets whenever you want. Many PropSwappers make thousands of dollars just by buying and selling championship futures all playoffs long. This allows you to win over and over without your team ever lifting the trophy. Go to PropSwap.com or download the free PropSwap app today. PropSwap has fantastic features like filtering listed tickets based on the best value, a free activity feed to stay in the know with all the big sales and red hot tickets for sale, loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash, and a first deposit cash match. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and PropSwap will match your deposit up to $500. Join the real sports bettors on PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. All righty then, main card time. We said 8 o'clock. We decided on it. It's going to start off with a flyweight fight. Manel Cape versus Sue Muderji. I think. Actually, the order of this card's kind of messed up. Let's actually start with one I have this the info for first. Featherweights. Lando Venata versus Charles Jourdain. Like I said, the order of this card, I don't really know because there's different orders all over the place. So we'll go with this one. We got Groovy Venata versus Air Jourdain. Another Canadian, Mr. Jourdain. Let's tell you about Venata first. So 12-5-2. Four knockouts, five submissions. He's been submitted once. The only time he's been finishing a fight. He's 4-5-2 in the UFC. He's gone win, loss, win, loss, win over his last five fights. He was a regional champ. Used to fight at welterweight. Used to fight at lightweight. This one is at, what did I say? At featherweight. Made his pro debut 2012. 2 inches of reach on Jourdain. Better grappling stats, plus 100. Air Jourdain, 12-4-1. Eight knockouts, three submissions. 3-4-1 in the UFC. Got win, loss, win. He also used to fight at lightweight. He was a TKO champ in Canada. 3 years younger than Venata. Striking and active striking stats in his favor, minus 120. I think it's me. Is it not me?
It is your turn. Yeah, because I think I just took Berio.
Good figure. You took someone against Wright. All right, I'm taking the Canadian again. I'm taking Jourdain. I'm taking striker over grappler here, even though Venata's got some crazy flashy striking. I think Jourdain's just a better fighter. So he's my pick.
Yeah, and I think it's actually almost deceptive to call Lando Venata a grappler because he's not actually that good at grappling.
Scrambler?
Yeah, like I mean, I guess he scrambles well. And like, I think he fancies himself a grappler sometimes. But his takedown average is like 40%. He's given up takedowns to, Mike Grundy grappled the shit out of him. Like, Grundy was winning every exchange there. Bobby Green took him down time. Marty Casey, who granted just showed off that he is a really good grappler against our boy Slava Claus. But like, Marty Casey took him down at will. Matt Frivola took him down at will. Like, we can keep talking about Lando Venata as if he's got really good wrestling because he's got some sort of wrestling background. But at the bottom line is he doesn't. And you're right, he's got some really flashy striking. Charles Jourdain is really technical striking. And sometimes it's flashy too. Like, he turned it on against Andre Yule when he felt like he needed to. But I think we're going to see Lando Venata here trying to trade with him, and it's not going to work out for him. And by the time he shoots, I think he's probably going to be too tired to actually succeed in any of that.
There you go. We are agreeing on Eric Jourdain. Hopefully the Canadians do not screw us over this week. All right, now let's do the flyweight fight. I was going to jump in the gun on Manel Cape versus Assume Mudergi. Mudergi is the Tibetan Eagle. Cape is Starboy. We'll tell you Mudergi first. 16-4, 13 knockouts, one submission. He's been submitted four times, so all of his losses will come via submission. 3-1 in the UFC. He's won three straight fights after dropping his debut. Has not been in the cage since January of 2021. He used to fight up at bantamweight. He's got 3 inches height on Cape, 4 inches of reach, 3 years younger, plus 165. All right, Starboy. Cop, 17-6, 11 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been submitted twice. He's 2-2 in the UFC, dropped his first two fights, and then won his last two via TKO/KO. Used to fight at bantamweight as well. He was the Ryzen champion before all this. Made his MMA debut, pro MMA debut, 2012, minus 223.
Is it my turn?
It is your turn.
I'm going to take Manel Cape. Look, I think Sumu Derji is fun for me in a lot of different ways. Like, I'm really interested in how Manel deals with how long he is, because he is really tall for a flyweight, right? Like, I think he's like, did you say he's 5'8"? Or you just read off the differences. You didn't even say what his height is.
Yeah, he's 3 inches taller.
Yeah, so he's probably 5'8", and he's got a 4-inch reach advantage, but that's because he has absurd reach. But the bottom line is here is, like, we talk about reach like that as if he's going to, you know, like, poke and prod and stay away from Manel Cap. Like, are you going to stay away from that dude? No, he comes in like a freaking bull in a china shop, at least when he's at his best. Those first two losses, he did not. But since then, he's looking to kill, and he's looked really good doing it. So I've got a lot of faith that he continues that. I think he pushes forward. I'm not sure I'd bet a finish here, but I do think that, like, he's going to get in Sumu Derji's face and hurt him.
I'm taking Mudergi. What do you think of that? I flipped on this one.
I mean, I know you're taking Mudergi because you love people with long arms.
No. Actually, the stats don't play that out. That's a good plan. But no, I think I still don't totally trust Cape. I like Mudergi. I like the role he's on. I like his resume, his recent UFC resume, a bit better. And he's a knockout machine. So I think he's a worthy underdog pick here. Plus size, youth, all that stuff. Probably a bit more consistent than Cape, but we'll see. I'm looking forward to this fight. It should be a good one.
I will say this. I will say this about that fight is that if Sumu Derji comes out and fights the exact same way as he always does, and Manel Cape regresses to the same one who lost to Alexandre Pantoja, I think you're right. Yeah. I think your pick's good. However, I think after he lost those two close decisions, I don't think it's something that he will ever regress back to, because I think now he's like, oh, I got to go kill somebody to make sure I don't lose these terrible decisions, which, by the way, they were terrible decisions. Yeah. He just thought they were. Like, I think he's going to go for it. And I think when he goes for it, I think he's probably one of the best two or three flyweights in the world.
Yep. No, it's very true. So looking forward to seeing this one play out. Now to the Dan Vreeland main event, the Gumbies main event, women's flyweight, Macy Barber versus Montana De La Rosa. We got Monty, his De La Rosa's nickname, and Barbers, of course, is the future, because she's the future hairstylist, Macy. All right, let's tell you about De La Rosa first. 12-6-1, 1 knockout, 8 submissions. She's been knocked out once, submitted once. 5-2-1 in the UFC. She won 1-1-1 over her last three fights. Won her last fight via TKO. 1-1 on the Ultimate Fighter. Used to fight at strawweight. She's missed weight twice at that weight class, and now she's up at flyweight. 2 inches taller than Barber, 3 inches reach, plus 155. Macy, the future hairstylist, 9-2, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a pro fight. 4-2 in the UFC. She's only won one of her last fight, which she technically won, but everyone knows she didn't really win that. 1-0 in the Contender Series. Used to fight at strawweight as well. 3 years younger than De La Rosa. Striking and active striking stats in her favor, minus 190. I'm taking Macy Barber, Dan. Haha.
I hate you.
I know. I'm taking striker over grappler, even though Barber striking is nothing to write home about. I know people think she's a great striker, but she swings at air a lot. But I think her striking is going to be enough. I can see a world where De La Rosa gets her down, though, and possibly submits her. But I'm going chalk here. Macy Barber's the pick.
All right. So first of all, I wanted to get in here and say it's sort of wild that you called this the Gumby main event when there are literally two of my favorite all-time fighters that we still haven't talked about yet on this card that we're about to talk about. And it's painful because you're making me talk about Macy Barber first and insinuating that I like to watch her fight. But that being said, look, my hatred of Macy Barber aside, I worry heavily about her grappling. Like, I think her takedown defense is nowhere near where it needs to be. You know, like we've seen her. Yeah, and like people will write off the loss to Roxanne Modafferi as if it was, you know, just based on the fact that she blew out her knee. But like, she also just gave up takedowns to Roxy at will. Like, she mostly gave up takedowns to Miranda Maverick at will. And she didn't win that fight against Miranda Maverick. Let's get that out of the way already. Like, she did not win that
already.
Yeah, it needs to be said 3 or 4 times. like, Miranda Maverick beat her. She should be on a 3-fight losing streak. De La Rosa, I think, has good wrestling. In like, you know, I've seen a lot of comps out there between De La Rosa and Jillian Robertson. And don't get me wrong, I actually think Jillian Robertson's jiu-jitsu is better, but De La Rosa's wrestling is better. So, like, that comp works sort of if you're trying to persuade yourself to take Macy Barber here. But I actually think the wrestling is going to be a problem for her with Montana De La Rosa. I think she winds up on her back too much and probably loses a decision here.
Yeah, it very well could happen. This is I'm not real sold on the -190 or whatever I'm getting on Barber, but them's the breaks. All right.
You just wanted to piss me off? Is that mostly it?
No. Is Alexander Romanov one of your favorite fighters of all time?
100%. I love watching this dude fight. Like, all right, he's only been in the UFC for what has it been, 3 fights at this point? Four fights at this point. And I have to say, hands down, one of my favorite fighters of all time. Both suplexing a guy who looks like Roque Martinez, which, first of all, is an absurd image to see somebody WWE throw somebody like Kurt Angle back in the day. And then to see him choke somebody out with his forearm, with not an actual choke, just with like pressure. The dude is so fun to watch. And best part, he's fat. And that's the best part.
Yes, exactly. That is the best part. And this week he's fighting someone who just got cut from the UFC that they're bringing back on short notice. And he admitted he's not in fight shape, but they doubled his pay, so he doesn't care, is basically what he said. That would be the vanilla gorilla, Chase Sherman. He's one going up against King Kong, Alexander Romanov. All right, Sherman, 15-9, 14 knockouts. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted once. 3-8 in the UFC. This is his third stint technically in the UFC because he technically just got cut. He's taking this, like I said, on short notice, very short notice. He is 0-3 over his last 3 fights, lost the last fight via submission. He was bare knuckle fighting championship champ at heavyweight. 2 inches taller than Romanov, 3 inches of reach, more active striker, plus 850 for a heavyweight fight, everybody. All right. King Kong, Romanov, 15-0, 6 knockouts, 8 submissions, 4-0 in the UFC, 1 via TKO his last fight. He was the EFC champion. He also was a wrestling champion. He's a year younger than Sherman. Grappling stats in his favor, -1300. We're taking Romanov, Dan. Is he going to finish him?
Yeah, in the first round. Yeah, in I will say this: the props aren't out on it because it's too fresh of a fight. So like nobody's dropped the prop on Romanov by sub, but like get it, whatever it is, sucks. Get it. Yeah, get it. Also, it's really worth mentioning that when this fight was announced, do you know what? Do you want to take a stab at what Romanov was posted at by most books?
-3000.
He was posted at -600. You could have gotten him at -600, and since then has been bet. Yeah, his bet pretty much into the sky. So, like, this is just one of those cases where I'm like, you know, I tell you guys this all the time. It's like, go look for the lines when they post, because, like, that was free money at -600. Yep. Yeah, I don't like betting -600, but the guy is, I mean, you can get almost twice as high as that now, and you could have sold it on PropSwap.
There you go. Hey, very good tie-in. All right. I'm guessing the other fighter that Dan likes would be at lightweight. Clay Guida would be another one of your favorites of all time, right?
Yeah. I will say this, his fight with Diego Sanchez back in the day. Do you remember when Diego Sanchez kicked him in the head and he popped back up like a weeble, like he weeble and he wobbles, but he doesn't fall down. He just popped right back up and kept running forward like a fucking maniac. I'll always love a Clay Guida fight.
All right, well, we'll see if you're going to love this one. He's up against Claudio Puelles. This fight is a pick'em on the board. We'll go with, we'll leave seniority to last. We'll go Puelles first. El Nino is his nickname. 11-2, two knockouts, six submissions. He's been knocked out once. 4-1 in the UFC. He dropped his debut and then won four straight. His last fight, he won via submission. He's 3-0 in the Ultimate Fighter. He used to fight at featherweight. 3 inches taller than Guida, 2 inches of reach, 15 years younger, -110. The Carpenter, Clay Guida, 37-21 is his record. 37-21. That's correct. 7 knockouts, 14 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 10 times, 17-15 in the UFC. He's won 2 of his last 5, 3 of his last 7. He won his last fight via submission. Used to fight down at featherweight as well. Made his UFC debut in 2006. 1-1 and the champion in Strikeforce. 1-0 in WEC. Made his pro MMA debut in 2003. Striking stats and active striking stats in his favor. Grappling stats in his favor. -110. So it's a pick 'em. I am taking Puelles. I love the line here. 15 years younger. He's looked very, very good over his last 4 fights. And if Guida does try to utilize his wrestling and take him down, there's a good chance he gets himself submitted. So Puelles is the pick.
I'm with you.
Him.
Yeah. I just got done saying how much I love Clay Guida and I always will, but like I am sold on Claudio Puelles since his move to Sanford MMA. Like look in his UFC debut, he didn't look good. In his next 2 fights didn't look great. He got knee barred. Well, he actually won by knee bar after getting absolutely dismantled nonstop for the majority of a fight. Followed that up by fighting a guy who's got no business being in the UFC, only won by decision. And I was like, I don't know. I don't think this Puelles guy belongs in the UFC. He leaves Peru, moves to the United States so that he can train at Sanford MMA and get high-level training partners. And he goes out and beats the shit out of Jordan Leavitt. Like, beats the shit out of Jordan Leavitt and then comes back with a knee bar on Chris Grootsmacher after beating him up for a while. The guy's grappling is very high level. His striking is coming around. His wrestling is getting better. And I think your point about what would happen if Clay Guida shoots on him is so important. Like, I think Clay Guida shoots a takedown here, getting desperate if the striking isn't working. I think he gets subbed. I think Puelles grabs a guillotine and just finishes him. I like Puelles a lot here, too.
Basically, half of Guida's pro loss of Cumbia submission, 10 submission losses. So yeah, there you go. All right, main event, women's strawweight, Alana Lemos versus Jessica Andrade. Sorry about Lemos first. She's 11-1-1, 7 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's been knocked out once. She's 5-1 in the UFC. She won 5 straight fights. She was a jungle fight champ before the UFC. She used to fight up at bantamweight. This one's way down at strawweight. 3 inches taller than Andrade, 3 inches of reach on her. She got popped for PEDs in the past as well. +170 on her. Andrade, nicknamed Pile Driver, Abate Estaca. Estaca, Dan?
Esteca.
Abate Esteca?
I'm pretty sure that's how you say it. Yes.
Yeah, Esteca. That would make sense. Steak. All right. Pile Driver, 22-9. 9 knockouts, 7 submissions. She's been knocked out 4 times, submitted twice as a pro. 13-7 in the UFC. Used to be the champ at strawweight. She's won 2 of her last 5. Won her last fight via knockout, TKO. Used to fight at up both weight classes. Actually, she won all the weight classes in the women's weight class in the UFC except featherweight. But that's not a real division. She's fought at bantamweight. She fought at flyweight, and now she's down at strawweight, where she was the champ. Shockingly, starting of her career, you never would have guessed that she would be able to cut down the 20 pounds, but she did. 2011 pro MMA debut, 4 years younger than Lemos, more active striker, -239. Go ahead.
I'm going to actually take Lemos here.
Wow.
Yeah, and I know it seems crazy, but I actually think I think I might take Andrade in a 3-round fight, and I'm going to take Lemos in a 5-round fight, if that makes any sense. I think Andrade is the type of person who kind of... Tell me I'm wrong. Does it feel like Andrade kind of needs to, like, put the pedal to the metal and, like, hurt her early?
That usually is her path to victory, yes.
But, like, Lemos is pretty damn elusive. Like, she's not easy to hit. Like, less than 50% of the strikes that are thrown at her land. Whereas, like, Andrade eats a lot of the shit that gets thrown at her. And she's not, like, the most accurate striker in the world either. A lot of wasted energy on Andrade. And the other thing I'll say is, like, not for anything, Amanda Lemos is not, like, less of a power puncher than Jessica Andrade is. Right? Like, she went in there and freaking cold-cocked LaVija Souza. She knocked out Montserrat Conejo with a jab. Like, it knocked her out with a jab. So, like, she's a woman who's got tons of power, too. She knocked down Angela Hill. She's got a knockdown in all four of her last four fights. So, like, she's got powerful hands, too. So, like, even if we're talking about this being a power-punching fight, like, I think Lemos can hang with her. I also think Lemos could win late in the fight, too, by just, like, winning, you know, like, one of the first three rounds, but then also 4 and 5. Because if Andrade can't put you away, I can't imagine her going a hard 5.
Well, she has won six fights via decision, but yes. She does have experience in 5-round fights. Lemos does not. This is her first headliner. I am taking Andrade, but Lemos's power is something that worries me with the pick. But Andrade only loses to champs. So last time she's lost someone who has not been UFC champ or has been UFC champ at some point in their career was 7 years ago, 2015. And she really hasn't shown any signs of serious deterioration of her skills. So until Lemos proves that she could prove it this weekend, until she proves that she can handle that, hang at the elite level, I'm going to take Andrade this one and we'll see what happens. So I'll take her at minus 239.
So just for the record too, cause I do want to throw this out here and you're picking the favorite. So I'm cool with that. You said she has 5-round experience. Do you want to know how many times Jessica Andrade has been into the championship rounds?
Probably zero.
She's been in the championship rounds one time in her whole career, and she went to the judges' scorecards. She lost that fight 50-44 after dropping a 10-8 fourth round and a 10-9 fifth round. So she...
Which fight was that?
She fought Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So like again, a decent loss. Your point about her only losing to the top of the top, a very salient point. Like that, you're 100% right. She only loses to really great fighters. I'm mostly arguing that Amanda Lemos is a really great fighter. And I would also say, you know, like no experience in the championship rounds except for getting blasted by Joanna Jędrzejczyk, who dances around her. And I actually think Amanda Lemos does something similar.
Well, at least she's trained for 5-round fights. How about that?
She has done that.
Yeah. All right. So we differed on a few and we differed on the main, which will make things interesting. Now we have to do our recommended plays. I'm just thinking, should I plug my laptop in before it dies or should we just power through? You make your pick. I'll plug my laptop in. Go. You get the first recommended play.
All right. And I'll dance around. I'll beat around the bush for a while because Jeff...
No, I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay. That was easy. All right. My first pick here, I'm going to take $40 on a guy who I'm pretty confident in, who I think is going to win fairly easy. Yeah. I'm going to take $40 on, Manel Kapp. I think, you know, I know you went with Sumu Derji, so this isn't a pick for you to tail, but like, I think as long as he is his aggressive self, he's a pretty safe bet here. So I'm going to take $40 on him.
I'm going to take a safer bet. $40, Claudia Puelles at minus 110. I love that number. I will put a big chunk of money on that. $40.
That was actually my second bet. I have it written down right here. Okay. $40, Claudia Puelles. I like him a lot here too. I think as much as I love Clay Guida, I think the younger Puelles here is trouble for him. So yeah, 40 on Kapp, 40 on Puelles.
He didn't really go into it, but explain this line. Explain that line to me, Dan. Why is this a pick 'em fight?
I mean, I think some of it is that, like, dude, Clay Guida is such a dog. Like, he goes in there and he wrestles and he beats people who he shouldn't beat. Like, legitimately, anytime I'm trying to make an argument about how good Clay Guida is, I point out the fact that he really should have beaten Brian Ortega. Like, we're talking about Brian Ortega, a guy who might be on the way to getting another title shot at some point in time, and also probably should have lost to Clay Guida, except for he threw a flying knee with 40 seconds left and landed it and won, but had lost the previous two rounds. Like, Clay Guida was winning that fight easily, and he was winning the third round. So, yeah, like, I think it's because Clay Guida is legitimately good, but I also think it's just because I don't know that people realize what Puelis has changed into since he's moved to Sanford MMA. Like, dude, think about how good that win over Jordan Leavitt has aged. That dude's 3-1 in the UFC, mostly with his grappling, and got out grappled by Claudio Puelis. Like, that is a crazy good win in retrospect.
Yep. Very true. Very true. All right. I would put the whole farm on Romanov via finish, but we don't have a number for that, so we'll just tell you people to take that pick, but we won't actually put any money down on it. All right, let's give me do I want to take $20 Charles Jourdain to win outright.
All right, and I'm going to close my last $20. I'll take it on Marcin Prochniow. I think he beats the hell out of Felipe Lins here.
All right, $20, Prochniow. What are we giving you on that? We're giving you -125. Good number, actually. What did I say? 125. That's what I said. All right. So Dan got three picks. I got $40 left. Do I have one fight I want to drop it on or not? $20 on Barrio over Wright, and then $20 on Pedro over Villanueva are going to be my picks.
I like it.
All right.
I was pretty close to,
of
like,
course you do.
I was pretty close to saving money for that. And then I was trying not to feel like a guy who's just trying to pilot on the Beverly Hills Ninja.
Why do you hate him so much again? Is it just, hype?
Dude, have you looked at his record? Like, in all honesty, like, have you looked at his record? Like, Tapology. Not has he not fought anybody good. He's not fought anybody who I wouldn't beat before he got to the UFC. And wow. I say that, all right, I'm going to read you the records of the people he beat. Ready?
Yes.
In his debut, 0-0. Second fight, 0-0. Third fight, 0-5. Fourth fight, 0-0. Fifth fight, 0-21. Sixth fight, 0-10.
So six fights, no pro victories for any of his opponents yet.
Seventh fight, 0-0. So look, in his seven pro fights to kick off his career, his opponents had a combined record of 0-30-fucking-6, which is one of the most ridiculous things. And then he changes it up just a touch, and he fights at Alaska FC and fights John Stern, who is the toughest competition to date for him, at 1-2. In his eighth pro fight, he fights a dude who's 1-2, and he is by far the best guy he had fought up to that point. Dude, like, it's just insane the level of dude he's fought. And, like, anytime he fights a guy in the UFC who can box a little bit, they beat the shit out of him. So, you know, like, Barrio can box a little bit.
There you go. There you go. More hate onto the Beverly Hills Ninja. All right. Recommended place once again, Dan, aka Gumby. $40 on Cape, $40 on Puelis, $20 on Prochniow. Jeff, $40 on Puelis, $20 on Jourdain, $20 on Barrio, $20 on Pedro. Now Dan's going to give you a big, juicy, super jong, has to eat lots of food parlay pick.
Okay. So we're going to put together a big old fat parlay. And my newest thing has been using as few fights as possible, because I hit a 13-1-1, and I think that's the best way to go. So we're going to start here with Marcin Prochniow. We're going to take Marcin Prochniow wins inside the distance, okay, because we think he's going to finish Felipe Lins. You can get that at plus 165, and that's a pretty nice line for me. I'm also going to take Marc-Andre Berrio. I think he gets done by knockout after he tires out Jordan Wright, because I just think Jordan Wright can't quite hold for the entirety of that. Where did I had that line written down somewhere? Ah, there it is. Berrio by TKO. And then last but not least, we're going to take Charles Jourdain over Lando Vannata. And actually, do I just want to take? Yeah, I'm just going to take that straight up. Charles Jourdain. Originally, I was going to take him by decision because I thought he was not going to go the distance. But I'll take Procneo inside the distance. Berrio by TKO. Charles Jourdain straight up. That's 11 to 1, friends.
Boom. Get in on that, everyone, right now. All right. We did it. We broke down this amazing card. Dan's Gumby's dream card, I'm going to call it. We'll be back on Sunday to make sense of all of our picks and how amazing we did on it. Until that time, make sure you listen to the Prelim Primer and Top Turtle MMA podcast, both Dan's other podcasts. Read our stuff at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Read my MMA site, moneymma.substack.com. At the very least, get in our free pick'em contest that I'm running on there, and you can win stuff for free. Who doesn't like free stuff? Twitter, Jeff Fox, writer. He's Gumby Vreeland. Did I hit it all?
Yeah, and I'll just throw this out here too. Sunday, I may have something a little bit special for you guys. We're probably going to start dipping into PFL picks on Sunday. Oh, so if you're looking for a reason to listen, PFL is happening midweek most of these weeks, like Wednesdays, Thursdays, the occasional Fridays. They like to change up the date, but they've got some freaking awesome cards coming up, especially PFL 3. PFL 1 is happening literally while we're recording right now, so we probably couldn't have given you picks for that, but we'll try to give you some for 2 or 3, at least some like value plays to kick off the episode on Sundays.
Fantastic. Hopefully Dan tells me in advance which fights we're going to pick down. All right, take us home, Daniel.
All right, I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He is Cam Cheetah, Jeff Fox, and we will see you on Sunday.